One of the most important questions that you could be asked is, who do you say that Jesus is? And Jesus asked his disciples this, you know, who do you say that I am? You know, I hear what everyone else says, who everyone else says that I am, but who do you say that I am? That's one of the most important questions. Now, another one, which you don't get to answer, okay, it's been answered already. It's, who does Jesus, who did he say that he is? Who did he claim to be? Did he claim to be a prophet? Did he claim to be just a good man? Or did he claim to be something, you know, well beyond that? So we're going to look at John chapter 8, starting in verse 48, continuing through the book of John as we go. Man, there's nothing better than preaching through books of the Bible. Did you agree? Was that an agreement? Yeah. Okay. I just want to clarify. I just want to make sure. Sound like uh-uh. Okay, there's nothing better. Okay, now, for me, it's a strong preference, because I would hate to have to just come up with new subject each week, you know, and kind of find my Bible verses, things like that. I just want to go through the Bible like it was given. All right, we're having a great experience in what we're going to refer to as Big John. Okay, this Gospel of John, I heard somebody mention it, this is Big John. You know what Little John is? 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, those, Little John 1, Little John 2, okay, Little John 3. Alright, so this is Big John. We might have a verse from Little John later on. But let's read the passage that we're going through today, all the way through to begin with, okay? Starting in verse 48, it says, "The Jews answered him, 'Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?' Jesus answered, 'I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death.' The Jews said to him, 'Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?' Jesus answered, 'If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad.' So the Jews said to him, 'You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?' Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.' So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple." Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day. And as we go through your word, and I have the privilege to be able to preach and to teach and to share what you've taught me, and I pray you would just continue to do that, that your Holy Spirit would be in control here, and that you would be able to just speak to hearts and to say just what you want to say, Lord. And it would be through your word, and it would be through an accurate understanding of what this means, what this is really all about, and what's happening here. Pray that we would be stronger in our faith because of it, because we were here and we were with you. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So let's go through it then, all right? Look more closely. Now, the Jews answered him, well, I better pause there and just kind of get an idea of what they're answering for. But if you just go back to verse, I think 47 would be a good one. He says, "Whoever is of God hears the word of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." So he had told the Jews, that, and when he says the Jews, there's Jesus is Jewish, It's not a, this is not a racial thing, but it's a truth that you have these other group of Jews that are opposing Jesus for what he's teaching. Some of them have kind of expressed some faith at times. It's a very lightweight kind of a faith in Jesus based on his miracles and what he's doing. And it's almost like he's talking them out of it. And I shared an example of this in Sunday school, and it came from the conference this weekend, where one of the presenters was talking about how he shared the gospel with a woman who was Hindu and on the airplane. And he was talking to her, and she was like, "Oh, yes, this is good. Sounds very good. I believe this, you know." And then he said, "Really?" And he said, "Well, wait a second. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is this is the only way. This is the only way. There's no other way to heaven. There's no other way to be forgiven of our sins." "Oh no, that is very bad. That is very bad." So the exclusiveness of Jesus was offensive, you know, to her, as she sees it in that way. So Jesus is telling them that their father is not God. Their father's the devil. He had told them that there in plain words, not in English when he said it, but translated to English. I was about to say plain English. Now, this is their response. So they're responding to that. He told them they're not of God. So as you look at this, they answered him. They said, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Kind of an interesting comeback. But what it is it's they're offended. They're backed into a corner. They've tried different things in their discussion with them. They're not getting the results they want. So now they're going to insult him. So these are insults that they're throwing at him. They're saying that he's Samaritan. Now, what do we know about Jews and Samaritans? They don't like each other. The Jews consider the Samaritans to be basically half-breeds, you know, that they weren't obedient to the faith, and they intermingled with other countries there and other nations. And also they're saying that he has a demon. So looking at those things, you know, the question would be like, why? I mentioned this, back into a corner, come out swinging, insults and attacks. They're following a pattern of attributing the works of God to Satan. And that's something that we see a lot in the Pharisees, that God does something, they say this is Satan doing it. So by saying that he has a demon, they are basically calling God and his works and what he does Satan. That's a very serious matter right there. And then the Samaritans, they questioned the Israelites' legitimacy as the heirs of Abraham. And I don't know if you remember last week I mentioned kind of looking into this a little bit more, but when they said, you know, "We're not born of sexual immorality." And I said I thought that was either a kind of a shot at Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, and his birth and how he was. And another possibility that people think it's connected with this, that they're saying that, you know, we are the pure ones, and they're identifying him with the Samaritans because he seems to be taking the Samaritans' side by saying they're illegitimate. So they're grouping him in with the Samaritans. And I think overall it's just kind of an insulting thing for a Jew to be called there. So John 8:49 continues, it says, "Jesus answered, 'I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me.'" One of the things I see, Jesus doesn't really directly answer the whole question they had about him being a Samaritan. Unless you could say that this is, I think he does, but he doesn't directly. He answers it by saying that he honors his Father. His Father is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he honors his Father. And then later on he says, "My Father is the one you call God." He makes that really clear. Okay, but he definitely says in just plain words, "I do not have a demon." Wouldn't be possible. Now if we look at Jesus, we see something here. We see that his goal is to honor his Father. Amen? That's Jesus' goal. Honor his Father. That's what he's out to do. Now, they are dishonoring Jesus. But what do we know about someone who dishonors Jesus? Who do they dishonor? The Father. You can't dishonor Jesus and somehow honor the Father. That's dishonoring to the Father. They are one. He says, "Yet I do not seek my own glory, There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. When again, when Jesus describes himself, he's not out to bring glory to himself. Even though that's true, he says, there is someone who is out to bring glory for me. It says one. It doesn't tell us yet who this is, but my Bible or my text here gives you a capitalization of one, gives you an idea who it's talking about. So what do we see in Jesus' character? We see he honored the Father. That was his goal. That's what he was out to do. We see, second, that he didn't seek his own glory. Right? Not about his own glory. But who is the one who seeks his glory? Well, you have to wait for it. I kind of told you already, but in the passage, as you read the passage, if you did have a question about this, who's the one that Jesus is talking about? It's revealed later on in the passage, really clearly. Now, John 8:51, continuing, it says, truly, truly, you can count on this. I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. This is one of the real powerful verses in this passage that we'll spend a little time actually talking about, make sure we understand what this means. But he says, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. What does it mean to keep Jesus' word? Right? Shouldn't we ask that question? Wouldn't that be good? How many of you like death? And Carl just mentioned he was at a memorial service. But none of us like death, because death is not what we were really made for. We were made for eternity. We're made to live forever and stay in relationship forever. And death, what death is not a ceasing to exist, but death is a separation. Somebody dies, they don't cease to exist. They're going to go and live forever somewhere, whether it be with God or be totally separated from God. Death is that separation. So Jesus is addressing this. And so since this is about death, it's our greatest enemy. Okay, do you have enemies? Sometimes I read the Psalms. I'm reading through the Psalms and David's talking about his enemies. And I'm just thinking, like, this is a little different than my experience. I don't really have, like, all these enemies around me that are just out to get me. And every once in a while I feel like I do. But, you know, it's a little bit different experience. But I know that my greatest enemies are sin and death. Amen? Those are our great enemies, and that God has won the war against those enemies. Jesus defeated them at the cross and coming out of the grave. And that's where we have that victory in Jesus. So we need to know, though, what does it mean to keep Jesus' word if we want to actually deal with death? So what does it mean to keep Jesus' word? Well, I'm going to say, first of all, it means believe. Why do I say that? I say that because of the context of everything that we've been talking about all the way through John and as we looked at John. What was the purpose statement of John? What did he say? In his purpose statement at the end of the book. Yeah, this is all said so that you might believe, and that by believing you might have what? Life. So he's telling you how to have life. How to not taste death. How to not face death. So it means believe. So, let's look at a couple of other passages. So if you'll turn in your Bible to these passages, I don't have the words up here, but I want to hear the pages turning today, okay? So we're looking at John 5:24. John 5:24 says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. That's a cool verse, isn't it? You think about it. Now, first of all, he says that whoever hears his word and believes him who sent him, who believes the Father who gave the word, that person has eternal life. It doesn't say he's going to get eternal life. It says that he already has eternal life. So as Christians, we don't acquire eternal life when we die. We're not looking forward to eternal life. That's something that we have when we're born again. You're born into that new life. Now, does that mean that you're not going to die physically? We'll look at that later. It doesn't necessarily mean that at all. I mean, only if Jesus comes back. But it's talking about the separation that we would have from God. We won't have that separation from God. But is it a matter of, when we think of keeping Jesus' word and we think about what Jesus' word is, was Jesus' word a matter of performance and doing, or was it a matter of believing? Believing. The doing, the conduct, that's part of the story, but that comes after, and that's not why we're saved. And that, and we don't keep ourselves saved by that either. Okay, so there's one example of that. Another example is John 6:40. So just keep moving to the right here. And these are verses that we've already covered. John 6:40, it says, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." What would it mean to keep that word of Jesus right there? To keep His word in that would mean to believe in Him. And as believing in, yes, you're going to continue believing in Him, continue in the faith. But is it a matter of, when you say keeping His word, is it a matter of purely of obedience? No, it's not a matter of purely of first of obedience, it's a matter of belief, of faith. Let's look at another example that's beyond what we've covered so far. John 11:25 through 26. Well, I'm going to start in 24. Martha said to him, "I know that he will raise again in the resurrection on the last day." What are we talking about here? Lazarus died. Jesus is telling her, you know, that your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" You see, there's two different kinds of death that he's talking about there as he talks about it. He says, though he dies, he'll live, and he'll never die. So it's the first death and the second death. The first death is the physical death we have. The second death would be separation from God. So that's what we're talking about. But again, it's a matter of believing. So eternal life, it's not a matter of works, but of faith. And aren't you glad about that? Amen. Wouldn't it be terrible if it was a matter of works? Well, first of all, it would be really bad because none of us would make it. Because there would be that one time when you talk back to your mom, and if there was a big scale in the sky and it was just like one too many sins, I mean, if it really worked that way. But you know it doesn't, because one sin, you're going to hell. But by the grace of God and His love and His forgiveness, sent Jesus, and if we have our faith and we believe in, and this is keeping His word, that we truly believe and we receive Him as our Savior, then our sins are forgiven. And it's, again, it's not a matter of works, it's a faith. Now, why do you obey God, though? Why do you obey God? Is it at that point like a license to do whatever you want to do? Well, absolutely not. It is absolutely not. It says in the Bible that if you love Him, you'll keep His commandments. So you obey because you love Jesus. And does anyone in this room today love Jesus? I mean, do you just absolutely love Him with all your heart and everything that you got? I hope so. And I look at my life and I think about who I am, what kind of man I want to be, what I want to be important. And I know that I sometimes have to hold on to things loosely and things kind of come and go. But you know, when it's all said and done, I just hope you look at me and you say, there's somebody who loves Jesus. And I hope I can look at you and I can say, there's someone who loves Jesus. And I know that none of us are going to be perfect, and we're not going to have everything all together. But if we love Jesus, that's going to really keep us on track, moving in the right direction. All right. Again, let's have some more background on this. He says you'll never see death, but people die all the time, right? I mean, of the people that we've had in this church that have been believers, there have been many that have come and have died. So, is that what he's talking about? Were they not believers, or what's going on here? Well, no, not at all. I mean, I think that was made clear in that other verse. But here's just a little more clarity to it. So let's look at Revelation 2:11 to begin with. Just to bring clarity on this. So you're just not taking my word from it, because I know you guys have to actually see it in the Bible. Amen? You don't believe it just because I tell you. Revelation 2:11 says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death." So it's a matter of conquering. It's a matter of overcoming. If you conquer, if you overcome, you're not hurt by the second death. You don't experience the second death. You don't see the second death. You don't taste the second death. Okay, if we continue and we look ahead, we look at towards the end of Revelation. Revelation 21:8. Our subject is the second death now. I'm going to start back in verse 5, just so we have a little more context. It says, "And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also, he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." See, the second death is hell. And if you're in Christ, you don't experience the second death. You don't have the second death. I also want to clarify and say this. As we look at this, and we look at all those sins that are talked about, the truth is, without Jesus in our lives covering us, that's all of us. We're there. We're going into the lake of fire without Jesus and His blood shed for us on the cross. And so if you know anyone who would fit in that category that doesn't know Jesus, that's where they're going, but they don't have to go there. Okay? They can receive Christ's love and forgiveness and have faith in Him and give their life. And if they do, they will be forgiven. Okay? And God will come into their lives and He will lead them and direct them. So we're talking about the second death here. Then He says, "You will not taste death." Okay, let's look at Little John 5:4. And it's going to be 5:4 through 5, okay? But I have to read verse 3 because it fits into what I said. All right, I got to read verse 3, all right? It says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Remember back Revelation 2? 11, when it was talking about overcoming and not seeing the second death. This is what it's talking about. How do you overcome the world? You don't overcome the world by, you know, getting to a higher level of performance. Believe me, we've had that people come through here that have tried to convince us of that. Okay, that if you perform higher, you're gonna somehow make it. You're gonna overcome. You're gonna conquer the flesh. Some strange teachings and ideas out there. But what is it that overcomes? What is it that causes you to conquer? It is our faith. Who is it that overcomes? The one who believes. Okay? That's 1 John 5:4. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Picking up in Big John now. The Jews said to Him, Now we know that you have a demon. They don't seem very receptive to what He said. Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Does it seem that we have a problem with interpretation here? Jesus is speaking about one thing, they're understanding another thing. Like, it really wouldn't make sense for Jesus to say that, you know, no one would die physically. Okay, as he's seeing it and observing it, it's happened, all right? But what they're taking is, they're taking it that way, they're offended by it. Now let me ask you a question. If you really go out and preach the gospel and share the gospel in love, do you think that you will offend people? Really? Yeah, you will. Do you think that everyone will like you? No, they won't. Okay, did they like Jesus? Not everyone liked Jesus. Now, if they treat Jesus this way, you could expect that's the way they'll treat you. They say, Jesus, you're crazy. Now we know you're crazy. And now we know you have a demon. So they might say the same thing about you. Okay? And if you start standing in more boldness, more filled with the Spirit and living for Jesus, then there are probably going to be some family members, some friends, some people around you that try to persuade you that you're crazy. Amen? But they don't really matter compared to God, do they? Amen? And we can come together and get in our huddle here and encourage each other and say, hey, keep living for Jesus. But they didn't like what he said, and they come to come back to Abraham. Abraham died. Abraham died? Are you greater than our father Abraham who died? That's the first question they ask. And then they said, and the prophets died. And this is a great question. They don't even mean to ask this great question. This is kind of where I took the title from the sermon. This is an awesome question. It says, who do you make yourself out to be? Abraham died. Who do you make yourself out to be, Jesus? So you see the two questions there. Are you greater than Abraham? And who do you make yourself out to be? Now, Jesus is not going to answer these questions right away. But at the end of the verses here, he answers these questions. So Jesus answers, again, he's not directly answering these questions. He says, If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. So two things, clearly identified who his Father is, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, and he identifies who is the one that glorifies him. So in reality, this answer actually answers the previous questions. Right? It answers the previous questions. So maybe they're not quite on the same page. But he's going to answer these questions. He will answer these questions. He says, but you have not known him. Again, you do not know God. Just because you're born as a member of the nation of Israel, and you have that heritage of being a descendant of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that is not enough. Okay, and it's kind of like saying, just because you're born into a Christian home and your mom and dad love Jesus, that is not enough to make anyone ever a Christian. Amen? Yeah. So he says, you have not known him. He says, I know him. Jesus knows him. Okay, he knows him. He can see. He can understand. They that know there that he doesn't know him, they have no experience with him. He says, you haven't even experienced him. You don't know him through experience at all. He says, but I know him. And if I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. And why are they liars? Because they're following what their father does, the devil, who is the father of lies. And that's what Jesus told them as we looked at the passage last week. I'd be a liar like you, but I do know him and I keep his word. So Jesus does. He keeps the Father's word. Your father, now again, he's not saying that Abraham's not their earthly father. Okay, he just before this said their father was Satan, but now he's saying your father's Abraham. But there's a physical father and a spiritual father. Right? And I told everyone here last week, I said, you know what? You're all born and the devil's your father when you're born. Sounds kind of rough, doesn't it? But I made it clear, I said, I'm not calling your earthly dad the devil, okay? Alright? But I'm saying in the flesh, as we're born into sin, because we're born sinners, because of Adam and Eve, we're born sinners, we inherit that, and we are born not giving glory to God, but we are born wanting to feed the desires of the flesh and to follow our spiritual father, Satan. And what God does is he rescues us from that and adopts us as his children, and then he becomes our father, all right? Amen. John 1:12. But to all who did receive Him, to all who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Okay, so your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. Again, and if you were really following Abraham, you'd be excited for the things that Abraham was excited about. And Abraham looked forward to the Messiah coming and to see his day. And he had some knowledge and understanding of it. And remember when God said, all nations will be blessed through you, to Abraham. This was the beginning of it. And he could see that and he wanted it. And he's saying that Abraham looked forward to that. He was excited about that. He wanted to see it. And then he saw this, and this is kind of a curious. He says, he saw it and was glad. Abraham saw Christ's day and was glad. What does that mean? Now, people speculate on a couple different things. Like one idea is that he's just talking about the birth of Isaac. And he's talking about the promise of God and how God's going to work through that promise. I suspect that it might be a little bit more like this. Abraham went to heaven. He's with God. So who's there with God? Well, God's there with God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay? So he's with Jesus, who at that point is God. You know, he's God the Son. He hasn't been born as Jesus. Abraham's there. But Abraham is able to see all this happening. Now, I don't know what all he could see, but he knew and he could see and understand what Jesus was going to do. So I have a sense it might be more like that. And I kind of look forward to God really explaining us the exact details of this and how it worked. But Abraham saw it and was glad. So here we got all the people like, okay, no, we're Abraham's children. We follow Abraham. We want to do what Abraham wants us to do. And yet Abraham's, I believe here in heaven, glad about what Jesus is about to do. And his physical children are rejecting Jesus. It says, so the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old. And have you seen Abraham? So how old was Jesus? He's in his early 30s. Okay, I don't think they're saying he looked 50. Okay, but they're saying, like, you're not even 50 years old. And here's how I know. It's like, even if he was like 100 years old, he wouldn't have been living at the same time as Abraham. Abraham's about 2,000 years before this. Okay, so what you're saying is like, it's ridiculous for you to say that you've seen Abraham. Because we know you're just a young guy. And Jesus responds to them. And this is the verse. This is the most amazing verse. And this is where Jesus answers the questions. Is he greater than Abraham? And who does he make himself out to be? And the fact is, I think one of the things Jesus was saying, Jesus doesn't make himself out to be somebody. See, when you make yourself out to be somebody, it's like usually you're making yourself out to be somebody that you're not. I want to play the part of this guy that has it all together. Okay, Jesus was saying that, you know, I don't seek glory for myself. I seek glory for the Father, and the Father is the one who seeks glory for me. I just tell you the truth. And I don't think Jesus makes himself out to be anyone, but Jesus eventually tells us who he is. And this is one of those verses that so clearly tells us who he is. And Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham ever existed, I am. Now, to understand this, we need to think about this. What did Jesus mean by that? Before Abraham was, I am. You know, we want to really understand what that means, what that's really all about, right? Amen? Why am I up here saying this is like the most amazing verse? Okay, well, let's look back in Exodus here, and I do have the passage here for you. And if you want to remember where this is, think of Exodus Pi. What's Pi Day? 314, right? 314. Well, this is kind of the setup. The next verse is 314, Exodus 3:14. It says, then Moses said to God, this is when God told him to go set his people free, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Moses asked him this. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. This is God's name, his chosen name for himself. When he reveals who he is, he says, I am, I am. And the Jews wouldn't even say this because they didn't want to take the Lord's name in vain. They wouldn't even say this. They wouldn't even pronounce it. But we pronounce it. It's written as four characters together. There's no vowels there. It's four consonant characters. It either gets pronounced one of two ways, either Yahweh or Jehovah. Okay, Yahweh, depending on how you pronounce the four consonants and how you put vowels in between, those are the names. Okay, now actually Jehovah is that's an English way of saying it. It's really not his name, you know, like, so you have the Jehovah Witness. That actually even came into existence much later on, calling it Jehovah. But it's the same thing though. And so it's okay to say Jehovah, and it's okay to say Yahweh. He says, I am has sent me. Now, what do we see about I am? It's a weird statement. I am is like, I exist, I've always existed, nobody created me, I'm completely self-sufficient. I am. Nobody caused me. I am. It's not like I have been, or I have always been. It's just I am. Always exist in that perfect state. Do I need anything? Nope, don't need anything. I am. There's a lot of depth to this. And that's his name. Now, and I'm running way over, so I'm about to close out here. But I want to make sure you understand this too. The scripture that they had in Jesus' time, for the most part, is the Septuagint. Do you know what that is? That is the Hebrew Bible translated to Greek. The Hebrew Bible translated to Greek, and many of the quotes that Jesus has in the New Testament are from the Septuagint, which gives us the idea that translating the Bible is a good thing, and it's okay, and the translations are good, and that. Okay, so in the Septuagint, you know, the language that he uses for I am is written in Greek, and that would be the Bible that they have, ego eimi, I am in Greek here. And so when Jesus says this, and we have it in Scripture in Greek, it's the exact same phrase there. Okay. What did Jesus mean by before Abraham was, I am? He means before Abraham ever existed, I am God. Amen. Am I greater than Abraham? Before Abraham existed, I am God. I'm greater than him for two reasons. Not just because I'm before him. That would be one of them. That would be the minor reason. But the greater reason is I am God. Who do you claim to be, Jesus? Who are you? I am God. And I hope that if you're here today and you think about Jesus and who he is, that you just want to fall down on your face before him and worship him and say that you are my God. You are a holy God. You are an amazing God. And you are at times a fierce and powerful God. You're always powerful, but like sometimes you have that feeling of love and tenderness, but other times it's the fierceness. But you are holy, and I'm in awe of you. And I know nobody made you. And I don't understand it, but you have always existed, and you always will exist. You're eternal God. There's not a problem that I have that's too big for you in my life right now. Because you are God. You are the great I am. When we think about God in the burning bush, when we think about God in the Old Testament, when we think about singing that song, the great I am, we are just as much singing to Jesus as we are singing to the Father. We are just as much singing to the Holy Spirit. We are singing to who God is, how He's revealed Himself. He has revealed Himself as the great I am. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for who you are. And we ask that you would just teach us that, and that we could know more and more about who you are, and just grow to love you more and follow you more closely. Thank you so much. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe some of you noticed I missed the last verse. It says, "So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple." They knew what he was saying. That's why they wanted to kill him right there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending us your Son. And Jesus, thank you for your willingness to suffer and die on the cross on our behalf so our sins may be forgiven. Lord, we thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to indwell us and live in us. And we pray that we would yield to your Spirit, that we would surrender, that we would quit trying to be the gods of our own lives, Lord, but that we would surrender to you and follow you and just love you with all of our hearts. And we pray today, Lord, that if you want us to do something for you, if you want us to step out of our comfort zone, if you want us to serve you in some way, Lord God, that you would impress that on our hearts and our minds and make that clear. We thank you that you go before us, and we just ask you to prepare the way. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
Amen.
You're dismissed.